Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you could join us today. Today we are going to continue our lesson about the cross of Christ. Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Then after this, in the chapter we're studying right now in Matthew, we see Jesus actually and literally going to the cross. And we who are his followers, he is making it clear that we must go to the cross as well. We must apply the cross to our lives if we would follow our master. There's much teaching today that Jesus took the cross so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could live with comfort and ease and no problems because Jesus took it all. Well, that is true. He did take the penalty of our sin completely and entirely, but he also called us, his disciples, to follow after him to the cross. This message of the cross was Orthodox Christianity, known by everyone, accepted by everyone for all the centuries up until the last few decades, where we have invented a new gospel that is crossless. There is no cross for the disciples to bear anymore. Jesus went to the cross so we would not have to bear any cross. Now, the problem with this is it has bred a new gospel of come as you are, stay as you are, no change required. We do not make any demands on anyone who follows Jesus anymore. So we just bring our worldly lifestyle into the church and no change is required of us. In fact, if anyone would demand any change, they are considered to be intolerant. So in the name of being tolerant, we allow all kinds of things to take place in the church and in the name of Christ, which are revolting to the Spirit of God, which are contrary to the will of God, which are contrary to the Word of God. So today we are going to examine the application of the cross to the life of the believer. Last lesson, which you can look up online by going to Skies Revival Radio, lesson 40, we talked about applying the cross of Christ to all the areas of sin in our life. And there's many areas of sin that we don't even think about anymore. We all can recognize outward sin, but hardly anyone deals with inward sin. That is the sins of the heart. That is the sins of our thoughts. And we see that Jesus addressed this so clearly, saying that whatever we think in our heart is what we really are. He said, if we have lustful thoughts, we have committed adultery in our heart. If we have violent thoughts, we have committed murder in our heart. So God sees not our outward appearance, but he sees our inward condition, and that's the area he wants to apply the cross to, as well as the outward. We dealt with that at length last time. Now we're going to get to another area, which is equally important. The first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God, you shall have no other gods before me. And this word, this first commandment, nails us and exposes the fact that we have many idols in our lives. We have many things that take precedent over God in our life. When we come to Christ, we are full of all the love of the world and the things of the world, and that's what our life is built on. Then we receive Christ, and we simply try to add Jesus into the mix. We try to add him to our pantheon of gods. We try to make him just one of our gods. We do love him, but we love all the things of the world more than him, or at least equal with him. And so Jesus is crowded out to the side. Now, I want to give you a very instructive illustration that is found back in the book of Kings, where we see that the Philistines are at war with Israel. Nothing new. The Philistines today is what the Gaza Strip represents. So still at war all these years later. Well, they were at war with Israel again. Only this time, in the heat of battle, the Philistines managed to capture the Ark of the Covenant. And with great rejoicing and excitement and the thrill of victory, they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to their land and put it into a hallowed position inside the temple of their god, who was called Dagon. And the priests were congratulating themselves that they had captured the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the Jews. They were so excited. Until the next morning, when they came back into the temple and they found that their great god Dagon had fallen down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And they were very confused by that. They wondered, was there an earthquake, a tremor? What in the world happened? So in their puzzling, they took out their rags, they polished old Dagon up, and then they set him back up in his place of honor, right there before the Ark of the Covenant. And so they went home for the night. Everything was fine until they returned the next day and they found that Dagon had been smashed to pieces before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Now their excitement has changed to terror. Now they're not glad they captured the Ark of the Covenant. They want to get the Ark of the Covenant out of there as fast as they can. So they send it back the way it came, but they wouldn't even send a man with it. They send it back in an ox cart that was unmanned because nobody even wanted to get close to the Ark of the Covenant. This is the most perfect picture of us today. We have our false gods. We have all the things that we look to for our joy, our comfort, our pleasure, our meaning, our fulfillment. And then we bring the Ark of the Covenant into that temple of our heart. We receive Christ. And as Jesus comes into this temple, which is filled with all of these other idols, we find that he doesn't play well with the other gods. He doesn't get along with the other gods in our life. And he begins to mess with them. He begins to meddle with our false gods. He begins to meddle with our security that's in the world. He begins to mess with the material things that we take so much pride in. And so these things many times will fall down before the Ark of Jesus in our life. Having received Christ, he will cause these false idols to fall down. And now we are really shocked. We're a little bit concerned that these things have happened to those idols that we love so much. And so we try to get everything back up in place, back in order. Let's say it was our car and suddenly something terrible happened to our car. We can't rest till we get it all back in shape because we really love this car. We get everything back together, back in order, so that everything is fine. We think we're good. And then we find, as we continue to seek Jesus, that that false god now gets smashed to pieces so that it is irreparable. Now we have two choices before us. We can allow the presence of Jesus in the temple of our heart to continue his work, to continue to root out the false gods in the temple of our heart, or we can send that ark out as fast as it came. If we are terrified that he has messed with our idols, we want to get rid of that ark of the Lord, and so we send Jesus out. Now, when I say we send Jesus out, I don't mean we renounce Christ. Nobody listening today probably has renounced Christ. All we do is we just back off a little bit. We just don't seek the Lord so earnestly. We don't make so much of our relationship with Jesus. We kind of just back off a little bit. And as we back off from seeking Christ, we find that our idols are again left undisturbed. They are left alone as we back off from following Christ. And this is the place so many believers are in, that so many in the church are in. We have our temple of false gods, all the things of the world, all the things that we love more than God. And I say that because I mean it. The things we love more than God. And when we receive Christ, he begins to disturb them. And we can either let the Lord disturb these idols so that Jesus becomes the true Lord of our temple, or we can back off so we can get our false gods back again. Now, when I say these are things we love more than Jesus, I say that because if you were given the opportunity to spend time, one-on-one quality time with Jesus, or do anything else in the world, what's the first thing that your mind goes to? What is the first thing that you want to do if you have time that you can spend on yourself? What is it? What's the thing that occupies all your thoughts? What is the thing that occupies all your time and your attention? What is it that really has your heart? These are the things that are your true gods. You have introduced Jesus into that mix, into that temple, because you've seen something in Christ that is attractive to you, but you don't by any means want him to mess with all the other gods. And this is what has brought about this new gospel that allows us to have all the things of the world, to love all the things of the world, and to seek the approval of the world and still have Jesus. It's because we don't want God to mess with our temple. But I say to this, in 1 John it says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so Jesus brings us to this clear decision point where we must decide between the false gods in our life and the real God. We must make a decision. And this is where the cross of Christ comes in. The Lord calls us to apply the cross to each one of those false gods. Now, it's called the cross of Christ because it's not pleasant. We don't do it because it's easy or it's fun. We do it because the Lord requires it. So let's say that our life, like so many other Christians, is consumed with sports. It occupies all of our spare time. It occupies most of our thoughts. And if God wants to call on a soldier whose name happens to be yours, where is he going to find you? He's going to find you locked in front of the game. And when he calls you to do his work or to fight a battle, you don't even hear him because you are completely absorbed in your game. And so this is a good example, and it's one of the main things that has taken out the soldiers of Christ. We're all busy watching TV. We're all busy with our entertainment. When the Lord calls, we are completely engaged in our video games, our computers, our handheld devices, our sports. We are completely enamored with all of the latest things of this world. We are completely enamored with the pursuit of money, of having worldly security, earthly security. We are consumed with planning our next vacation. And so these things have occupied the temple of those who are called by the name of Christian. We are Christian in name, but indeed we are not lovers of Christ. We are lovers of all the things of this world. And so Jesus is calling us to lay down our life to follow him. He is calling us to pick up our cross to follow him. And what does that mean here in the Western Hemisphere? What does that mean in North America? In many places of the world today, if you receive Christ, if you follow Jesus, it will cost you your life, literally. You will literally go to the cross. For us in North America, there is no exceptions. We also must go to the cross. Our cross is crucifying all of those things that take precedence over Jesus in our life. All the things that take our heart from the Lord, all the things that preoccupy us, that make us useless in his service. Again, we don't do it because it's fun or easy. It's called the cross. And when Jesus went to the cross, it was not fun or easy for him. He did it to obey the Father. And so I'm calling you to obey the Lord, to do what he says, to lay down our distractions, to lay down the other loves in our life, to pick up the cross and to follow Jesus out of sheer obedience, spending our time seeking the Lord and doing his work. God is doing a work here of revival. He wants you to be part of it. The way you become part of the revival is by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and revival will visit you and your household. Seek him first. Make him first priority. Make him more important than the game. Make him more important than your entertainment. Make him more important than your vacation. Make Jesus to be your first love. Believe me, all the things that you love of the world are going to dissolve in your hands very shortly. This is the day to make Christ to be your foundation. This is the day to learn to make Jesus the love of your life. This is the day to seize the cross, put your life on the altar, and say, yes, Lord, I will serve you and you alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want revival to begin with us. And Lord, these things seem very hard to us, and yet you have made them to be very necessary because these things distract us from you. And we see from your word that it is the distractions of the world that causes the good seed planted in good ground to bear no fruit. So Lord, we want to bring these things before you and say, Lord, please shine your light on my soul. Shine your light on my life. Show me where I am really not loving you first. I want every idol in my life to fall down before the ark of the covenant of my God. I want Jesus to be exalted in the temple of my life. Lord, please be the true Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.